This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I think lawmakers and economists on both sides of the aisle have said that reopening the country by Easter is not a good idea.
Just so you understand, are you ready?
Oh, this is going to be good.
I think there are certain people that would like it not to open so quickly.
Boom. Roasted.
I think there are certain people that would like it to do financially poorly because they think that would be very good as far as defeating me at the polls.
Boom. Roasted.
There are people in your profession that would like that to happen.
Boom, roasted.
There are people in your profession that write fake news. You do.
Boom, roasted.
She does.
Boom, roasted.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Yeah, he went after the news media, making the point that, you know, we'd like to see him do poorly in the election, and so we're rooting against him in this crisis, and that's so ridiculous.
It's some 60% approval ratings for the way he's handling this crisis. The briefings are working for the president. No matter what he says, people seem to be seeing him as a leader.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Somebody who's making $12 an hour with the $600 on top of their regular unemployment check might be making a few bucks more for 4 months. Oh, my word! Will the universe survive?
We want to make sure that you are whole in unemployment, not that you get a raise because of the coronavirus. And so that would be unfair to all Americans who are working, and we believe in this country in the dignity and work.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Important legislation. We're very proud of the product. We did jujitsu on it. The government production office, defense production office, testing, mask, ventilators.
Marsha.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Remember the Access Hollywood tapes right before the 2016 election? And Trump was recorded 10 years earlier laughing with Billy Bush about, you know, how if you were a celeb, you could do what you want with women. And he was just playing the clown, locker room talk, as he later said. And he talked about how you could grab women. You could grab women by the you know what and get away with it. And Billy Bush was laughing. And then the tape came out. NBC had been sitting on it for 10 years. But then as the future president, was getting closer to Hillary Clinton in the polls, they decided to drop it at the last moment. They dropped it to the Washington Post. One Democrat organ, NBC, dropped it to another Democrat House organ, the Washington Post, and they almost sunk Trump in the election because he was talking about grabbing women by their, you know what. So today it comes out, it's come out the last day or so. Woman accuses Joe Biden of sexual assault. This was a former staff assistant to Joe Biden. She was a lawyer at the time, Tara Reid, and she claims that Biden sexually assaulted her in 1993. This tape was released today. We were alone, and it was the strangest thing. There was no like exchange, really. He just had me up against the wall. His hands were on me and underneath my clothes. He went down my skirt, but then up inside. He penetrated me with his fingers. So in other words, he didn't just talk about grabbing some woman, according to this former aide of his. He actually did it. And after the assault was complete, he said, "Come on, man. I heard you liked me." Is this all over the news like the Access Hollywood tape was 4 years ago? Is MSNBC reporting on this? This is on tape. Is this on CNN today? Is this leading with the New York Times and the Washington Post? No? Huh. Strange. You'd think that actually being accused of doing this, and weren't we supposed to believe all women? Whatever women said, you know, maybe the actual, all of the fine minute details weren't true, but generally speaking, you have to believe a woman, what she says. Unless it's Juanita Broderick or Tara Reid or the two women who accused the lieutenant governor of Virginia of raping them, or all the women who accused Ted Kennedy. No, you don't believe them. Just when they accuse Republicans, like Clarence Thomas or Donald Trump. Okay, time now for the Chump Line.
Happy birthday, Madam Speaker. Thank Wu for all you've done for America.
That's what the late mayor of Boston used to say on occasion, Mumbles Menino. Thank Wu. Thank Wu, Madam Speaker. We mean so that sincerely. Go ahead.
So it's Nancy Pelosi's birthday today. I can only imagine that on her first birthday, they didn't put a candle in the cake because fire hadn't been discovered yet.
She's 40 years ago in Baltimore. A nice young baby was born, and look what she grew up into. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, whose wicked awesome windows and doors are only available through better lumber yards and window professionals.
So wait a minute. You make it illegal for people to go to work and unemployment goes up? Oh my God.
Yeah, who could have ever imagined that this was going to happen? And I, you know what, again, I could be wrong. I can't read people's minds, but there seemed to be giddiness and excitement in the voices of most of the newscasters this morning when they got to read that the unemployment numbers were over 3 million.
Poor Uncle Joe. He's thinking kind of slow, maybe with compunction. There he goes again, thinking that he's in, hoping for a Trump injunction.
I think he just wishes Bernie would get out of the fight. He doesn't think, I think he thinks he can resist Cuomo, but he's not sure that he can drive Bernie out if he has a few more of these virtual town hall disasters. That's why he doesn't want to go near any more debates. Can't say as I blame him, or you can't really credit anything that happens to Joe, to his handlers, to Dr. Jill, and his bad son, Hunter, and whoever else is handling his campaign.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Wow, Nancy Pelosi just turned 80. So, did you guys practice social distancing when you took her to the prom back in the 50s? We're going to be fine.
I didn't come here to be made sport of, Governor. How did you do in your own second home state of Massachusetts in the primary? You got about as many votes as I got when I used to run for town meeting in a single precinct, in a single town, in a single county.
Ms. Pelosi, in recognition of your wonderful, wonderful job in The Wizard of Oz, we'd like to say thank you. And again, we apologize for that house landing on your sister. Sorry.
Thank you for your centuries, plural, of public service, Madam Speaker. And you've done so much for your adopted hometown of San Francisco. And don't forget to look down when you go out onto the sidewalk to make sure you don't step into anything untoward.
Nancy Pelosi, the one virus that's lived on for 80 years.
Oh, how unkind is that? She's looking so forward to seeing her grandkids after everything is all, her grandbabies, after all this is sorted out. And it would have been such a nice present for her, a birthday present for her and the grandkids, to give another $100 million or so, at least in loan guarantees, if not outright grants, to Planned Parenthood, so they could kill somebody else's grandbabies.
I want to ride my bicycle, I want to ride my bike. Screw Granny and the trail police, I want to ride my bike.
I just don't know why I'm somehow going to be a carrier of coronavirus between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., but I can ride my bike with impunity and not get a ticket from the trail police after 5 o'clock or before 8 a.m. What's the difference? And how come some 11-year-old kid gets to ride the bike, but not me and nobody else who's in the age groups of over 12?
Joe Biden's caregiver should be criminally charged for elder abuse for letting him speak in public.
Yeah, they talk about these people that are mandated reporters, and they're supposed to report abuse of kids, but are they also supposed to report abuse of the elderly? And where are the if there are mandated reporters for elder abuse, why aren't they calling in to ABC, MSNBC, all these networks that are doing virtual town halls with Joe Biden?
Testing, testing, testing. Earth to Nancy. Earth to Nancy. Come in, Nancy.
Ventilators, ventilators, ventilators. That's all she can say.
Dear Mayor, I see the stimulus bill got $25 million for the Kennedy Center. MMS going to buy a lot of shivers.
It's for the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. It's not for the Edward M. Kennedy Center for the Study of the Senate and Massage Parlor in Dorchester.
What are the chances Joe Biden forgets it's Nancy Pelosi's birthday?
Who would have ever thought, though, that Nancy Pelosi would turn 80 before Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders?
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you every weekday by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, whose wicked awesome windows and doors are only available through better lumber yards and window professionals.
Testing, testing, testing. Earth to Nancy. Earth to Nancy. Come in, Nancy.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. 413 says, who's going to watch the kids on that bike path? That's a good question. I've been thinking the same thing. So a six-year-old kid can be out on the bike path by himself, but the parent can't be behind him, watching him or her. Today's poll question is brought to you by Boomer Naturals. We sold out of the cheap bastard deal fast yesterday, but you can still save big today. For select doctor-formulated natural CB5 products that you purchase, you will receive 2 4-ounce hand sanitizers and a $20 value mini pain relief roll-on free. Go to Howie Carr page show. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the Boomer banner at the top of the page. HowieCarrShow.com. Click on the Boomer banner at the top to order and get your deal. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
If you could only listen to one of these songs for the rest of your life, which would you choose? It's Imagine by John Lennon or We Are the World by USA for Africa.
Imagine. But I'd imagine that I wouldn't be turning on the phonograph, as Joe Biden would say, to listen to either of them if I had the choice.
69% would rather listen to John Lennon.
All right. 844-500-4242. The House is debating the Senate package that was passed last night or early this morning. And Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader of the House, had asked a very good question about this today. Cut 11.
The Speaker herself just said, every day, every week that is wasted on not taking this seriously is a problem. I could not agree more. And yet for days, Democrats stalled this bill. How many people were laid off as the Democrats fought to change the election law or implement the Green New Deal? How many parents lost sleep wondering how they were going to make the payments in the next month? How many small businesses sat around a kitchen table and had to make that decision they never had to before about laying their employees off that are like family?
Do we really think that the Democrats are concerned about the 3.3 million people that were laid off? Those are not, by and large, Democrat voters, are they? Because they have jobs, real jobs, as opposed to Democrat-type Bernie Sanders assistant dean provost of diversity and sustainability type jobs, human relations coordinator type jobs, nonprofit government sector jobs. Meanwhile, in New Hampshire, Governor Chris Sununu has issued a stay-at-home order telling all quote-unquote non-essential businesses, again, comes the recurring question, what is a non-essential business, to end in-person dealings starting midnight Friday, midnight tonight. This is not a shelter-in-place order. We are not closing borders, transportation. No one will be permitted from leaving their home, Sununu said at a press conference. Stay at home unless absolutely necessary. Many in New Hampshire have done a commendable job in practicing social distancing. We are not caught. Okay, Trump is beginning the press conference. We're going to go to it right now until the break. We have a hard break at the bottom of the hour, but we'll stick with Donald Trump live.
The world has changed, right? But it's going to end up being better than ever. I want to thank you very much for being here, and I'd like to update you on the steps we're taking on our ongoing fight to defeat the virus. This morning at 7:55, I spoke to the leaders of the G20, had a great meeting. And we have a lot of different ideas, a lot of good ideas. We're working together. The leaders gathered virtually around the world to discuss the whole subject of the problem that right now 151 nations have got. We had President Alberto Fernandez of Argentina, Prime Minister Scott Morrison of Australia, President Jair Bolsonaro of Brazil, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada.
We're going to monitor this as we go along, and we'll come back and take more live after the break. 844-500-4242 if you want to join us. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. The president is going through the usual statement of talking about the meeting with the leaders of the other industrialized nations. And he had a meeting, a virtual meeting with the nation's governors earlier in the day. And he's talking about the media, and he made a couple of jokes about Tom Brady and what a great guy Tom Brady was, and he spoke to him earlier in the week, and were they going to let Tom Brady lead the effort again? It's just somewhat lighthearted in a time of serious news. And before we go back to it, I just wanted to read you this story. Union finds 39 million coronavirus masks in 5 days. This is from Fox Business. This was right after Bill Barr, the attorney general, said that the Justice Department was going after hoarders of all medical supplies. And, guess what happened? The Service Employees International Union / United Health Workers Union West said it has located 39 million N95 masks available for purchase in the last 5 days and is now connecting health providers with the respective suppliers. What a coincidence. See, the Attorney General threatens criminal actions, and all of a sudden 39 million new N95 masks turn up. SIEU members and healthcare workers all over California are desperate for more protection, so we are seeking out supplies wherever we can get them, the pinky ring boss of the union, Dave Regan, said. We are continuing to turn over every rock to find more personal protective equipment to make sure healthcare workers who are heroically putting their own health on the line to care for patients can do their jobs. Isn't that wonderful?
We had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, oh, we need Tom Brady. I said, yeah. He meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news. And I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
Well, we just threw that in. I think that was an aside, but that's what he said. He was bantering, or maybe not so bantering, with the fake news media at the White House. Let's go back to the live press.
Accomplish what we want to accomplish. As of today, FEMA has shipped over 9 million N95 masks, 20 million face masks, 3.1 million face shields, nearly 6,000 ventilators, 2.6 million gowns, 14.6 million gloves, and we're sending more every day, and we've got tremendous amounts of equipment coming in. A lot of great companies are making equipment right now. The ventilators, obviously, they take a little longer to make, but we have a lot of companies making them, and we're going to be in great shape. We took over an empty shelf. We took over a very depleted place in a lot of ways. As you know, the testing is going very, very well. And that was obsolete and broken, and we fixed it, and it's been going really good. And I think, very importantly, the stockpile, we're really filling it up, and we fill it up rapidly, but we get it out. Sometimes we have it sent directly to the states instead. And again, the state has to be doing this kind of a thing also. We're sort of a We look from behind a little bit, and we look at how are they doing, and if they need help, we do it. But it's their first responsibility. Sometimes they just can't get it. But we load it up, and we send it out. But if we can, we have it sent directly to the state. We want it to go directly to the point where we want it. I can now announce something that I think is incredible, what they've done in the Navy, because the incredible naval hospital ship, the USNS Comfort, which is incredible, actually, when you see it inside, will be underway to New York City on Saturday. So it's going to be leaving on Saturday rather than 3 weeks from now. And they did the maintenance quickly, and it was going to be there for quite a while longer, another 3 or 4 weeks. And it should be arriving. I told the governor 20 minutes ago, Governor Cuomo, that the ship will be arriving at New York Harbor on Monday. I think I'm going to go out and I'll kiss it goodbye. I'll go to it's in Virginia, as you know, and I will go and we'll be waving together, because I suspect the media will be following. John, are you going to be following? Maybe. You never know, huh?
Captain, sir, it's a very important vessel.
Great ship. It's a great vessel, is right. So if you want to go, I'll see you there, and if you don't, that's okay. After being fully loaded with medical supplies, it's loaded up to the top, and it's over at the Norfolk Naval Base. That's where it departs. It is expected then to, we're saving about 3 to 4 weeks by the incredible work done by the Navy. And I actually look forward to Saturday to see it go. The ship will arrive, and I believe it's going to get a little bit of a ceremony. It's just something very beautiful about it. It's an incredible piece of work. Going to be landing at Pier 90 in Manhattan to provide hospital surge capacity for the New York metropolitan area. So it's a surge capacity. They may use it for this, or they may have other people coming in from hospitals unrelated to the virus, and then they'll use those hospitals on land. They'll use those hospitals for the virus, but we'll see how they do it. They could do it either way, one way or the other, whichever one is best. But it could be, because it's set up so well for a regular hospital, that they may take people out of hospitals and then use those rooms for the virus. The National Institute of Health and the private sector, working closely with the FDA, continue to collaborate to discover and test treatments and therapies that can effectively reduce the duration and symptoms of the virus and help, very much help people to recover. And I'm firmly committed to bringing these treatments to market very quickly. We have a lot of tests going on with regard to different medicines, and I hope we get lucky. I hope we hit. A lot of talented scientists and doctors are working on therapeutics, a cure, vaccines. I think we're doing very well. Tony may speak to that a little bit later, but I think we're doing very well with regard to the vaccines. I think we're doing well with regard to a lot of the things I just mentioned, but we'll have to see what happens. We're going to know fairly soon about a lot of them. But it's very advanced, and the vaccines are very advanced prior to, as you know, a fairly reasonably long test period of, in that case, over a year. Every American should be proud of the incredible spirit our country has brought to this effort. It's been incredible. Citizens from all walks of life have come together to turn the tide in this battle. We're witnessing the extraordinary power of American unity like a lot of people have never seen. Even getting a vote, you're talking about trillions of dollars and you get a vote of 96 to nothing. We are waging war on this virus using every financial, scientific, medical, pharmaceutical, and military resource to halt its spread and protect our citizens. I want to express our tremendous thanks to the American people for continuing to practice social distancing like you people are practicing right here. It's, I don't know, this room may never be the same. Maintaining good hygiene and follow government guidelines. Vice President Pence lifts up that card every time. And it's not very complicated, but hopefully you can do that. And your commitment will make all the difference in the world. And that's one of the big ones will be for a while. Stay home. Just relax. Stay home. Making a lot of progress as we continue to gather more information and accelerate the testing, where we're doing record numbers of tests now, far more than any other country has done. I told you yesterday, 8 days here, because you heard so much about South Korea, The media kept talking about South Korea, South Korea. We have a great relationship with President Moon in South Korea. But when I hear so much about South Korea, so in 8 days, we do more testing than they did in 8 weeks. And it's a very highly sophisticated test. We'll be able to deploy even more data-driven and targeted approaches to slow the ultimately, it's a very devastating thing, but we will vanquish this virus, and it's a lot of progress has been made. That's why earlier today I sent a letter to America's governors describing how we will be using the data to update existing guidance on social distancing, which will be developed in close coordination with our nation's public health officials and scientists. Because of the sacrifices of our great doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals, the brilliance of our scientists and researchers, and the goodness and generosity of our people, I know that we will achieve victory and quickly return to the path of exceptional health, safety, and prosperity for all of our citizens. We have to get back to work. Our people want to work. They want to go back. They have to go back. And we're going to be talking about dates. We're going to be talking with a lot of great professionals. But this is a country that was built on getting it done. And our people want to go back to work. I'm hearing it loud and clear from everybody. So we'll see what happens. We're going to have a lot more information early next week, and we'll be reporting that back. But I just want to leave it with you. We have to go back. This is the United States of America. They don't want to sit around and wait, and they'll be practicing. And by the way, a lot of people misinterpret when I say go back. They're going to be practicing as much as you can, social distancing and washing your hands and not shaking hands and all of the things that we talk about so much, but they have to go back to work. Our country has to go back. Our country is based on that. And I think it's going to happen pretty quickly. A lot of progress is made, but we got to go back to work. We may take sections of our country. We may take large sections of our country that aren't so seriously affected, and we may do it that way, but we've got to start the process pretty soon. So we'll be talking to you a little bit more about that next week. And with that, if you have any questions, you could ask, and then I'm going to have Vice President stay behind, and he's going to take questions and also introduce some of the people. You could ask them some questions. John, please.
Mr. President, unemployment numbers out today, 3.3 million.
Yes.
I take it not a surprise.
No, not
at all. But still a staggering number. Oh, sure. I'm wondering about your perspective on that.
Well, it's nobody's fault, certainly not in this country. Nobody's fault. We got very lucky when we made a decision not to allow people in from China at a very early date. I say that because some people don't want to accept it, but this was a great decision made by our country. The numbers that you're talking about, we're a big country, that'd be far greater, far bigger. So when I heard the number, I mean, I heard it could be 6 million, could be 7 million. It's 3.3 or 3.2. But it's a lot of jobs. But I think we'll come back very strong. The sooner we get back to work, you know, every day that we stay out, it gets harder to bring it back very quickly. And our people don't want to stay out. So I know those numbers, John, but I think you'll see a very fast turnaround once we have a victory over the hidden enemy, as I say. It's a hidden enemy. Sometimes a hidden enemy is a lot tougher than somebody that stares you in the face, right? So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, they're fully expected numbers, at least. I mean, at least. Steve, please.
There's a U.S. proposal to deploy some troops along the Canadian border.
Yeah.
And Prime Minister Trudeau was complaining about that. Why is that necessary?
Well, we have very strong deployments on the southern border, as you know, with Mexico, and we had some troops up in Canada, but I'll find out about that. I guess it's equal justice to a certain extent. But in Canada, we do have troops along the border. You know, we have a lot of things coming in from Canada. We have trade, some illegal trade that we don't like. We have very strong sanctions on some. We have very strong tariffs on dumping steel.
Let's take a break.
And we don't like steel coming through our border.
We'll come right back. As you heard, he's going to go to Norfolk to see off the USNS nurse on Saturday morning. So now all the people have been complaining that he hasn't been out to see any first responders or visited any sites. They will now be complaining that he's going to Norfolk and they couldn't get the ship out of port to go to New York, the hospital ship. That's where it's headed. So this is the way it always goes with him. But he seems in good spirits. We'll come back in a moment, and we'll take some more of the press conference as long as he's taking questions. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
(844) 500-4242. That's the toll-free number. We'll take some calls here. The press conference is going on, and it's not as confrontational today. They're the questions are fairly legitimate. I mean, you got one question, three from some guy said, 3% of all restaurants are already closed and aren't coming back. And what do you tell people? I mean, what is he supposed to tell them? I mean, he didn't shut these restaurants down. I mean, and he said restaurants, he said, I understand the restaurant business. It's very fragile. That was the word he used. And he said, it's tough. And, some of these restaurants may not come back, but something else will come back. That's the nature of it. I'm sorry about restaurants going out of business. I'm sorry about anything going out of business. And so was he. I mean, he was basing his reelection on the economy being in stellar condition. I still think it'll come back quickly, but I mean, there's some things you can't do anything about, and this is one of them. I mean, I guess it was a legit question, but what is he supposed to do? What is he supposed to say?
I know the business very well. I understand the restaurant business. It's a very delicate business. It's a business that it's not easy. I always say in a restaurant business, you can serve 30 great meals to a person or a family, and they love it. One bad meal, number 31, they never come back again. It's a very tough business, but they're great people that run restaurants. And I've heard 3% could be lost, and you could go as high as 10 or 11%, but they'll all come back in one form or another. It might be a different restaurant, but it's going to be a great business for a lot of people. And we're making it easy for people to look what we're doing, in terms of loans, what we're doing in terms of salaries. They'll all come back. It may not be the same restaurant, may not be the same ownership, but they'll all be back.
Yeah. So there was a study out of the United Kingdom earlier, and they were predicting 500,000 deaths, 500,000 deaths in the British Isles. And now it's from the Imperial College. And so now the guy who was the leader of putting this study together tested positive himself for COVID-19. But he now says that the UK should have enough intensive care unit beds, and that the coronavirus will probably kill not 500,000, but under 20,000 people. And more than half of them would have died by the end of the year in any case, because they were so old and sick. It's quite a transformation. I wonder if this will get covered on the mainstream media tonight. I'm Howie Carr.